We are talking to Benton Craig, who is going to tell us about the potato business in Aroostook County, starting back as far as he can remember it. Now, Benton, you live in Misardis, is that right?
Yes.
Have you always lived in Misardis?
Oh, no. I was born in Ashland, but my father moved to Prescott when I was about 4 years old, and I was educated. Prescott schools, went to the grammar school there, the old training school, then through high school in Prescott. My father was, at that time, was in the business of being a potato dealer, as they were called, the business of buying potatoes from the farmers, loading them in cars, railroad cars, shipping them to Boston or New York or Philadelphia, wherever the sales were made. At that time, there were two types of potato houses. One was the so-called farm potato house. It was no more than a cellar built into the ground, usually recovered up for insulation with a roof built over it, a rather round roof. And those potato houses were built in the fall. The teams would drive right into them, and the potatoes would be dumped off in the wagons down the chutes into the bins. The other type of potato houses were the, what was called track storage, built on the railroad sides. And they usually consisted of what was called either one or two door houses, and in other words, the cellars were filled with potatoes, and then the floor was filled with potatoes. They were divided up into bins, usually four on each side, four bins. They would be somewhere approximately 9 to 10 feet wide. Potato houses were usually built about 40 feet wide. Sometimes they were a little wider, but usually about 40 feet wide. And a single door house would be probably 60 feet long, and the two door house would be just double that, which would be 120 feet that they would hold. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000-7,000 barrels for a single door house, and approximately double that for a two door house. It would depend on the depth of the cellar, what we called how high it would be posted, which would mean the height of the bins. These houses were, the cellars were constructed of cement, and the rest of it was wood construction, except the roof, which was usually earlier houses were, of course, shingled roofs, and then later they were composition shingles. They would be a cement firewall built between one house and the next one in the line, or on both ends. If there were houses on each end, what they call firewalls, which were cement walls, probably foot, 16 inches thick, to stop the fire that might start in one house from spreading into the house, other houses in the stream. Well, my earliest recollection, of course, they didn't have electricity in a good many places, so the potatoes were hauled in the fall. They'd haul them on teams, the earliest ones. They would haul them up and roll them into the potato house, dump them down solid, fill the cellar bin. And then the bins upstairs, they, I can remember them rolling the barrels up the planks, roll up one way and a plank go across and up another way, work them up in the bins that way. I also can remember when they used to haul them up for the horse. They'd put a pulley up in the top of the potato house, another pulley down the bottom. Some of these old potato houses used to be built with these little shed-like affairs on the, run the whole length of them outside. Of course, those were built for two purposes. They would store wood in there, or bags, or whatever. But in the fall, they'd put a small horse in there, and hook that horse onto the walk rope. When they spoke to the horse, boy, it would walk ahead so far, and the barrel of potatoes would go up into the top of the potato house, and the horse would back up a step or two, and they'd set the barrel down up there, and then roll it across and fill the bins that way. And those little horses they used in there would get so they knew just where to go. They'd go so far, and then they'd back up. They hooked on another barrel. That's the way they got the potatoes up in the top of the potato house before they had electricity with electric motors to do that work for them. They would store these potatoes in there. Sometimes the owner of the house would either own some or buy some and store some for himself, but generally the farmers stored a lot of potatoes there. They would rent a bin from the owner of the house, pay him 15, 20 cents a barrel of storage, and have his potatoes on track so that he could sell them when the market was where he thought it would be at the highest price, or whatever time he wanted to sell them, he'd have them available on track so that they could be shipped at that time.
Well, tell me now, did you start out in farming, or were you doing something else before you started the farm?
Well, no, I was, like I say, brought up in a potato house, and I actually didn't live on a farm. I lived in Prescott House, so I was much more acquainted with the potato business as a boy, and being around the potato house and working early, what I could do at times in the potato house. I was probably, I remember my first job was branding sacks. The seed, the sacks we shipped seed in was what we call the 4B sack. It was a heavy sack, it weighed 2 pounds, and made out of heavy material, and it would hold 165 pounds of potatoes. And they had to be sold with double twine. Those sacks would come in large bales. I think there was 250 in a bale. And of course, they weighed 500 pounds. And they would have to be branded with whoever the shipper was or whoever we were shipping them to. They would have a brand made out of copper, galvanized steel with the names cut in that they wanted to put on it. It would sometimes be as much as 2 feet square, the brand. And you had to put on the weight, which would be on those 4B bags, would be 165 pounds net weight. And if they were going to be transported by boat, had to be a catch mark put on them, and the variety of potatoes. So it was a fair job for a kid to brand up a bale of sacks. You know, I used to do it, besides think I was working or pestering around the crew or most anything the kid would do in the potato house. Now in those days, potatoes were shipped in what they called line cars. They simply took a box car and put a false floor in it, false wall. In other words, they built it up as two before, and boards on top of the two before, so there'd be an airspace between the floor of the car and the walls and the ceiling, and they'd build that up that way. way. And insulate it with paper, car line paper. And load those with potatoes, either in bags, or sometimes they load them right in bulk. You just bulk hit them across and put a heater stove in there, which is simply a stove made out of heavy tin and a false door and stove pipe sticking out from the side of it, up with a brace on the top of the car to hold the pipe. And the shipper would have cars going on a certain freight, and he'd send a man with them to tend the fires. Load the center of the car with wood, enough to hopefully get them to Boston, and whoever took the cars in their care would have up to a maximum of 5 cars. If he had more than that, he was supposed to have a helper with him. And they would ride when the train was moving, they were supposed to ride in the buggy. But they didn't always, I guess. And they would sometimes be 4 or 5 days getting to Boston. That weather was cold, and they had to go on New York. It took another couple of days. Then they could get a special pass or some reduced price for the fare back. They'd come back on the passenger train. It would be quite a long trip. I always wanted to go, but I never did get quite ready to make it. I was already one spring and going to go, and then father thought I was a little too young, so he said I could go the next year. The next year, he lined up probably 10, 15 cars to get ready to Virg Winter's loading, but they brought in the reefer cars. They did away with the line cars. He brought his line cars back in, took line down, and we never shipped any more of the line cars. We used reefer cars. That time on.
Well, what was the reefer car?
Well, that was a refrigerated car, the same as we use now. They were smaller and not so good, but they came in and they commenced to develop heaters, charcoal heaters that they could use on them. They also had what they call the old Eastman heater at that time, which was a box car the railroad had built over and installed an oil heater underneath it. But they were quite expensive to use. The old long car was the thing that they used mostly there for probably 20 years anyway, 25 years. And after the railroads came in, probably the next 25 years were practically all used what they called long cars in the wintertime. Now, sometimes, of course, they get in a lot of trouble if they get into big snowstorm and they get held up and they run out of wood, and men on them would have a hard time scrounging enough wood to keep the fires going. But they was a pretty faithful bunch of people that did that work. They would usually get the potatoes there in pretty good shape. They didn't ship a great, the capacity of those cars wasn't particularly large, probably somewhere between 180 and 200 barrels. Maybe 200 barrels they was loaded in bulk, 180 if they was loaded in sacks. I don't remember exactly, but I know they weren't the capacity of the cars that they do load now. In those days, a lot of the potato houses didn't have electricity in them, and most of the potato houses were built with windows over the door, so shutters inside, so that when you're loading potatoes, you open those shutters and get some light into the potato houses. And they used to grade the potatoes over what they call the old hand rack. It was a wooden slat affair that was wider and higher at the rear end, where they would shovel the potatoes into, and then narrow up and up. Man on each side would pick out the small ones, and the cow
personality. One bag hung in front, another man would tend the front end of it and take that, when that bag was full, he'd put a board across the front of that hand rack, and then the man would in front would take it, set it on the scales, weigh it, and hang another bag on there, and they'd proceed that way. They put up pretty fair potatoes that way, really, a lot of them would get a car a day. I've seen the car potatoes go with probably a good sized crew there. The potatoes would be of good quality. They'd put up a car much faster than you would really believe they would. And some of the houses were built so that it would make it more convenient to load that way. It'd be a little slope there where they'd set those hand racks so it'd be easier to, if they were dumping them out of barrels in the hand rack where they wouldn't have to roll them up so far. And they used to load potatoes that way. If they needed extra light, well, they had a lantern or they would have a large kerosene lamp that would hang down, give you what light you could. It wasn't anywhere near as efficient as the lights we have today. But they put up a lot of potatoes that way in the olden days.
Well, Thomas, what did you do after you graduated from the potato house?
Well, I didn't really ever quite graduate from there. I first started working after I graduated from high school. I worked in the potato house some, various jobs. By that time, they commenced to get better equipment. They had electricity in the potato houses, at least in the one down the Prescott Island Ashland here. And we used to have what they call the bog rack, which was would do the sorting and take the small potatoes out with two series of chains and a racking table which was a canvas belt that the potatoes would come out on. You'd have better lights so we could do a better job, and of course potatoes move somewhat faster. Of course, the way to get the potatoes in that rack, you did it with the old potato fork, the old banjo, shovel those. Usually with a crew of putting up five potatoes, one man would shovel for so many potatoes, and then he'd shift off and go on the front of the rack and hang bags for a while, and then he'd shift off and sew for a while, and then put them in the car, and then that'd be his turn to come back to shoveling again. It was a pretty efficient way of working, and split the work up. I didn't work at any one job too long. As I remember it, when I first remember, practically all the potatoes were bagged, were put in either 120 pounds or 150 pound sacks. And I think probably it was about 1934 they ever started loading a smaller sack as a 100 pound sack. Shortly after that, they commenced to load paper sacks. Down to the 15 pound. For a long while they didn't go below that, but then after that, well, they got into loading 10 pounds and even 5 pound sacks, and some of them in master containers. But to go back to the older ways of doing some of those things, the potatoes that I remember when they were first hauled in were hauled in by teams. And in the fall of the year, they would haul them in on wagons. They had these jigger wagons that weren't built too high off the ground. They weren't like the old tote wagons. They were built with a drop axles, and they were down pretty well. And they used to have some real nice pair of horses. Farmers would have some nice horses by that time. They would haul as high as 40 barrels. on those wagons. And then shortly after I started working in the potato house, they commenced to haul with trucks, the earliest trucks they had around, Fords and Chevrolets that would probably haul 20 barrels, and then they get up 24 barrels, and then 28 barrels, and then up to 36, and then finally they settled for the old 45 barrel truck. Later, of course, we did the bigger trucks, but the old 40 barrel truck was standby for years. You ton and a half truck, and rated up to haul about 40 barrels. We used to load a lot of potatoes in the fall of the year. We'd load them right into boxcars, and they might be somewhat sorted in the field. In other words, they would leave the small ones in the field and the poorer ones or anything that wasn't good. The picker would do that, and then they'd haul them and dump them right into these boxcars, and we'd ship them to wherever the market was, Boston. Usually it would be a Boston market at that time. Boston was a big distributing market. And they would sack them up there in the Boston yard, have crews, and shove them right up into sacks, weigh them. A lot of potatoes then would go on the boats from Boston. They would go, they go south, ship to Cuba, Puerto Rico, wherever. Didn't want the potatoes, but Boston was a big distribution point, and I've seen many 300 or 400 cars on track in Boston at one time. I mean, it was a big business then. In later years, they shipped potatoes through Searsport, and farmers would truck those to Searsport from Presque Isle, or as I remember, I think they get paid 18, 20 cents a hundred to haul potatoes clear to Winterport, or Bucksport, Searsport, of course, being the railroad terminal. But they haul them to Searsport and Bucksport for 18 or 20 cents a hundred. The average load that the farmer would haul, I think he'd get registered up for about 4 tons. That'd be about 90. And with his overload, he could haul about 96 sacks, if I remember right. Think of that, going all the way down there and back with $18. He blew a tire, usually he was out of business. It was out a long, hard trip. They make a trip every day, a lot of those fellas. They the potato business early, of course, was practically all buying and selling. The individual farmer didn't load his own potatoes often. We'd take a crew and go out to a farmer's potato house, load a car of potatoes, truck them down the siding, load the cars there in the wintertime. And it was sometimes a cold, tricky job, but it was still better than using the line cars. Then as time went along, of course, improvements came. And Maine seemed to drop out of the fall shipping business. We seemed to lose our business in the fall. And actually, I suppose in the olden days, or times when I first remember, the growers who grew potatoes in Massachusetts or Connecticut or New York State outside of Long Island, they were quite a ways from the big markets, the same as we were, and they had to go through the same form of transportation. In other words, they had to put them on the railroad to get them to Boston or New York. And our freight rates were pretty comparatively low to what they are now. And they didn't have much advantage of us. We could raise better potatoes. Out there, if I remember when I first was out there, they raised some potatoes, but they weren't very good growers. They had a lot of disadvantages. And they either it was too dry out there, or they had trouble keeping the rust off them, and they usually didn't get very good crops. But after they got the irrigating potatoes out there, and they got better fungicides and pesticides, why, they was raising a lot more potatoes, and they kind of drove us out of the fall market. Now, all those times that I've been talking about, everything seemed to be uphill labor. I mean, it was a lot of hard work to piling sacks in the cars and rolling barrels, and everything was done by hand labor. Labor was through the 30s, labor was low cost. And, as time changed and they wanted a better package of potatoes put up, and we worked under the inspectors more, the whole thing had changed over by that time. Even though a lot of people thought we were gaining, actually we lost a lot of our business. Our export business faded away. And, we lost our business going into the south on account of maritime freight rates. But of course our trucking business, the general trucking, as trucks got bigger and the roads got bigger, the trucking business picked up, and then of course the processing plants come in. And it's been a continual change. There's never been one year where the potato business is the same as another year. So, what the future will be, well, really nobody knows. We've seen it change so many times, up and down. The time I can remember, it's always been a boom and bust affair, but it seems to be all bust now, and not very many booms to it.
Well, Button, we want to thank you very much. This certainly has been very interesting, and I bet even though years ago it was a lot harder, I really bet that it was very enjoyable.
Well, you didn't notice it at the time, but actually a lot of it I'd hate to go through with it again. I mean, it really was a lot of uphill hard work. I think nowadays in the modern packing plants that they have, that they're doing a much better job, and eventually it'll work out much better, especially as they get more of these large packing plants.
Well, thank you very much for your fine interview here, and we really appreciate it.